Please welcome to Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Amos Gill.
Rue, it should have said 4.5 star Amos Gill. Did you read his write-up in the advertiser this week?
Nailing it, absolutely nailing
down
it. I've had a few people come up to me and said, that bloke who on your show sometimes not very funny is actually very, very, very funny at the Fringe.
Brilliant. Gilly, good morning.
Yeah, good morning,
that
boys.
Was a good write-up.
It was, you know, I've always had a go at the Murdoch press and said that they're all fake news, but they're getting closer to the truth these days.
What'd that cost you, Gilly? What'd that cost you?
Just a night out with Antimo. Thanks, Antimo.
No.
Yeah, now tell us, you reskilled this year. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, this is some good news for me, just my personal. So obviously, I did a law degree back in the day, pass average the whole
what?
Way.
Did you? Okay. I
yes,
didn't
I
know
did.
That.
Did you must have been in trouble to do your own law degree.
Well, we got through the beginning of this year, Roo, and it didn't look like I might ever do this caper again. So I did finish it off, get my requirements, and my friend who's a barrister goes, mate, do you want to help me out on a trial I've got with the bikies on a blackmail charge?
Oh, no.
And I thought it wouldn't be too bad to carry some favour in all sorts of areas.
Mm.
Which is also how I got the 4.5-star review. I got some favours. Had some pressure applied to Antimo. And anyway, so we go there, and my friend's in the gown and whatnot at court, and it is very serious. I've got a snap to it.
Wearing the wig.
And we meet, got the wig. I've got the suitcase behind him. Mm. I'm carrying that. I'm the bag man with all the evidence. And we meet the client, and he's chatting to my friend, the barrister. And then the barrister says, and this is your junior lawyer who'll be assisting. And the bikey guy goes, are you the comedian from bloody Hit 107?
So that filled him with a ton of confidence.
And so he gets on the phone immediately and he's like, what clowns have you set us up with here?
This is no laughing matter.
And so then my mate has to sort of roll on me. He goes, nah, yeah, he's just pouring waters. He's an idiot. He's not going to say a thing. Don't you worry about that. You know, he goes, have you ever seen The Castle? He's the Dennis Denuto. He just writes down, need a drink. Anyway, so I've worked on the trial. We've just got the case come back. Innocent.
Oy.
So
I'm
if you need me to get you off anything.
Okay, beautiful. When we need bikies, we'll come to you, Gilly. Hey, tell us, you also went for a role on Brekkie Radio as well. I know you've done Brekkie Radio in Adelaide, but you went to the other side of Australia and had a crack.
Right.
Tell us how that went down.
Well, I, as you know, I call you guys the stepping stones to greatness. And I'm just standing on the shoulders of giants. And I went over to Perth to, they basically said I might get the radio show in Perth, Triple M.
Right.
Really?
All I had to do was have a trial with the guy who was the guaranteed host, which was Basil Zemplas.
Basil.
Wow.
Me and Basil for breakfast. Could you imagine that stunning combo?
Mm. So how'd it go?
Opposites attract, hopefully.
So they said, look, this is a done deal. They just want, you know, Basil just wants to get to know you a little bit here. So, you know, good luck. And I said, yeah, I can work with Dennis Cometti Light. No worries. So I went into the trial, and I'm not joking, we're a minute in. And this is the day that he had that big controversy. You remember where he'd said some things? And then
What did he say, Gilly? Just refresh us again.
He must have said something about trans people on his radio.
Oh, transgender.
That's right.
Transgender. And he was embattled at the time. And his excuse was, I forgot I was the mayor.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he'd only just won the mayor.
Because he is the mayor of Perth, yeah.
He's the actual mayor of Perth. So we get in the studio and the radio boss says to me, make sure you give him stick for what he said, because we need to see that you could pull Basil into line on this radio show.
So
he's told us he wants you to go as hard as you can.
Bulldust.
So we start talking and I go, oh, Baz, you know, you forgot you were the mayor. Why don't you start walking around with the robes? You know, then it would be as obvious as on the nose on your face, mate.
Oh, you didn't go the big nose joke.
And Basil just taps his pen on the thing and goes, yes, that's great. That's great. Hey, Amos, thanks for coming in. So much appreciative of your time, and we'll be in touch.
Don't call us, we'll call
Don't
you.
Come Monday.
So now I've got to sit back here in the B leagues with the real dicks.
Oh, you're kidding, aren't you? All right, well, maybe we'll catch you next Monday then.
Now, before you go, what's been your favourite news story?
ScoMo taking the vaccine. Have you seen that?
I saw him get his jab.
Yeah. I just think it's amazing, you know, in our society that the Prime Minister has to take the vaccine for us to be confident. in it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the final stage of approval is the PM. I think let's keep that rule forever, and whenever a drug is legalised, the PM has to take it live on air.
I like it. You know?
Like, so when they legalise weed in Australia, ScoMo's got to rip a bolt right there.
We're on.
All right. Now, Gilly, when can we see you down at the Fringe?
I'm back tonight, Friday, Saturday, 9:50 at Gluttony, so get on down.
Good on you. Go to Fringe Ticks and check out Amos Gilvie.
There's been a great sighting in Tasmania. This is great news for the animal world.
Yeah.
A man has spotted a Tassie tiger.
A thylacine.
This is Neil Waters, who is the boss of the thylacine.
President. Of the Thylacine Association.
And there's a little bit of a clue with the mum and the dad as to what they are, with certain features of them, but they are ambiguous. However, baby has stripes, a stiff tail, the hock, the coarse hair, it's the right colour, it's a quadruped, stocky, and it's got the right shaped ears.
Oh, it's important to talk like that.
Hey, was that?
We're in the jungle. We're following it
along.
Don't
take the mickey out of it.
Do you know when he was younger, he was that kid in the bar, and the head went that way, and the guts went that way.
The images with Nick Mooney from museum, he's an honoree to the museum in Hobart, puts our thylacine in a much stronger position than it's been in for the last 30-something years.
That's right, they're breeding, Dits. They're breeding. This is great news.
This is hard work chasing this through the jungle. And you've got to keep up. Now,
there's two very happy people in South Australia at the moment because they have just been justified about what they saw. Let's have a listen to Dave from Elizabeth.
I was driving through Roseworthy one night and my phone rang and I had to pull over. One of the footy lads was ringing me and I pulled off the side of the road and no word. This is the first time I've ever spoken about this. I swear I've seen a Tasmanian tiger.
You beauty. Where was it?
Rui, I didn't say nothing.
You should have
caught
it.
I looked to the side and was gone. Next minute, about 2 days later, you had a caller ring up. He was driving through Malala.
Yes, we did.
That's right, yep.
And he said he'd seen it. And I was like, nah, man, I'm losing the plot. Have I seen it or not? And I'd never said nothing to this day.
He drank at the same pub you did.
Let's have a listen to that bloke.
Usual routine from Gawler to Kadena. I was about 5 k's over the other side of Malala. As I seen something come out of the bush, and it just ran across about 30 metres in front of me, and I couldn't believe what I saw.
Well, what was it?
To me, 100% Tassie tiger, mate.
A Tassie tiger.
You're not in Tassie. You know that, don't you?
No, I'm 100%, mate. I saw the hind legs and the way the tail is, and I thought, that doesn't look normal. So I Googled the pictures of it, and I thought, mate, it's got the same ass.
100%, mate.
It's got the same ass. Oh, so the Tassie Tigers have swam over and they're here.
They're good swimmers.
But that is great news. The Thylacine Association, its phone will be ringing off the hook today.
Yeah, sightings everywhere. And you heard it here first on Ruined It's on Triple M.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's Plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
Oh, now, Roo, I've been hoping and hoping he was going to do a particular show for a few weeks. Let's see if he's going to do it today. Rudy Vanderstone, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits, and good morning to you, Roo, and everybody listening to Triple M in Adelaide. I have got my ute parked out the front there on Flinders Street. He's going through the brass fittings or taking off the beautiful ream gas hot water system I got strapped to the roof. Right. Well, to you, Dits, yes, Virginia, there really is a Santa Claus.
Yep.
Because wishes do come true today. I'm doing holy moly.
Yes, that's what I've been waiting for.
Finals time in holy moly.
It is. It's the grand final this weekend coming up. And as your friend the Moon Man suggested, maybe they should be true to the name and have a bunch of nuns playing against strippers. and make it truly holy moly.
I think that's what Tiger Woods said when he went off the freeway yesterday. Yeah, holy moly.
He's rolled his car, a poor champion. Anyway, a lot of people have been asking me, Dits, why it's taken me so long to excoriate, and that means to skin alive.
Right.
Excoriate, holy moly.
Excoriate.
Mm. And that is because I have been lost for words. This is the worst television I've ever seen, and I'm lucky to be here to bear witness to this abysmal long drop of TV effluent. That's a shocker. Okay, first, there's so much to get through. First, the hapless co-host. Matt Shervington is a man previously renowned for running fast with a long schlong in bike shorts. Well, I can safely say he's now damaged that esteemed legacy.
Yeah.
He is so seriously out of place and lost on this show, I feel like calling the Westpac chopper to pluck him to safety. The look of surprise on his face as he reads the same joke off the auto cue that Rob Riggle is actually reading out, and then looks up at Rob as Rob expects him to laugh.
Yep.
The look is amazing. It is pitiful, and the jokes are shocking. Matt Shervington, you should sue Channel 7 for workplace bullying. They've made you look like a bigger imbecile than Dicko, and he's dressed as a pirate.
Oh, no.
The reason you're there, Matt, it can only be one reason, and that is the head of Channel 7 has your family at gunpoint. There is no other plausible explanation. Now, on to Dicko. Mm. The greatest media whore the sweet Lord ever breathed life into is at it again.
No.
He's like a horror movie villain, Roo. You think he's gone, dead, defeated, and then all of a sudden he turns up in this shit show on a golf hole called Walk the Plank or whatever it is.
He's a cat, isn't he?
Well, he's a... Yes, he's got nine lives. I wish the shark was real and ate you whole, Dicko. Though even sharks would blanch at TV carrion rotting from the inside out. Your most famous moment on TV was demeaning Paulini for wearing a tight gold number. Well, how the chickens come home to roost. You are now an obese pirate, and the X on your treasure map marks the end of your career.
Oh.
Goodbye, loser. Let's move on. Yeah. What's sparing anyone today? Next, on to the animated greatest choker of all time, Greg Norman. The shark has got some kind of fishbone stuck in his throat. Oh, how many times did he stumble at the final hurdle?
Here comes
Nick Faldo. Don't poop your dax. Anyway.
That was a bloody good chip by Nick.
Rob Riggle arriving in Australia to host Holy Moly was greeted with much anticipation. Now, he's very funny in The Hangover, Step Brothers and the other guys. He's not in Holy Moly because he took the money and I wished he had have run, but he didn't. He stayed here. I haven't seen somebody look this uncomfortable since Don Burke fronted Tracy Grimshaw on A Current Affair. Finally, they have a hole called the Dragon's Breath. I would like to go out there with no fireproof clothing on and be burnt beyond the recognition of my own mother so I never have to experience Holy Moly again.
Oh, sure, it's not getting a star.
It is. It's getting a chocolate starfish is what it's getting.
Oh,
it is rubbish.
It is.
Flush it. I hate it. Goodbye.
Oh, God. Channel 7.
Wow. I need a rest after that, Rudy. Bloody hell. That was
so tight.
Good on you, Rudy.
Todd Seaton.
See you, mate. Let's look at the highlights
of
the week.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Mozzies love Chris the Big Red Cat Dittmar.
I get eaten alive by mosquitoes.
And we learned why Mozzies love Dits so much.
Mozzie expert Dr. Cameron Webb has revealed the critters like stinky skin.
What would he know? So I smell.
They're attracted because of stinky skin.
Ooh, that smell. I smell.
You stink.
You got to be kidding.
Can't you smell that smell? Have a wash, Dits.
In fact, I've just read this. It says, more likely to be bitten by female bugs if you smell like a bird or a cow. This is bulldust.
Big red cat.
Or the big red cow. Number four, we learnt Roo is pretty quick with his mother-in-law jokes.
17% of people would rather do 1,000 push-ups than see this person. Who is it?
Is it the mother-in-law?
Oh, no.
Have you got a mother-in-law, Reece?
Oh, yeah.
What's her name?
Juanita.
Juanita?
Juanita, new mother-in-law.
Number three. We learnt Roo and Ditson not exactly nailing the details of the Adelaide International Tennis Tournament at Memorial Drive.
Now, yesterday I said head down to the drive and see Ash Barty in action. She's playing today. So if you went down there yesterday, just wait. She's coming. No, if you're still in the stands, she's not far away, all right?
Okay, boys, let's make up for that mistake. Roo, you need to nail this ad for the Adelaide International Tennis Tournament. Go.
Gov.au. A message from the government of South Australia.
A live read. Oh, okay.
Well, no, just bear with me. This is my department. Hang on. There you go, Roo.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is good. The Adelaide International is finishing off the summer of tennis at Memorial.
Number two.
Grumpy old men are a weekly segment.
Have you always been grumpy?
Always. And they've been very, well, grumpy.
It's part of the left-leaning cancel culture who want to take control of the gender-specific reference.
And I just don't get it.
Evidence of the woke cancel culture.
Ridiculous.
A leftist woke elitist have been able to hijack this.
You can't call anything anything anymore.
What's going to be the new name of the Women's and Children's Hospital? What, Person's Hospital, is it?
That's right. And due to the left-leaning woke political correctness gone mad cancel culture brigade, the grumpy old men will now be referred to as the whinging Caucasian geriatric persons.
Number one.
Ditz has been accused by his wife of being a perv.
She said, you're a perv.
I was
shocked and stunned and hurt. What do you mean I'm a perv?
Although he did talk a lot about women's beach volleyball this week. First on Tuesday. Exactly.
Beach volleyball. Now, I think we're all familiar with the uniforms that they wear.
Then again on Wednesday.
Now, yesterday I spoke about the beach volleyballers wanting to play in Qatar. Said, no, you got to cover up. You can't wear your bikinis. Well, they've had a victory overnight. Cool. So the girls now can wear their bikinis and play beach volleyball in Qatar.
That's a win for all of them.
Surely Ditz is not a perv.
My wife called me a perv.
Let's get the pervometer out and test it out. The pervometer will beep if Ditz says something a little bit pervy.
Girls coming here, we're in the action wear.
Yeah.
Looks all right. Seems to be working.
COVID test, yeah.
What was it like?
I said, yeah, do you want me to drop my trousers? But they said no. Well, normally after you've been with a stripper, you need a jab, don't you?
Yeah.
I could qualify to be a sex addict.
What about when they talked about Bernard Tomic's girlfriend?
Have you looked at her, what is it called?
Oh, yeah, I've looked.
You've looked at her. Of course you have, your dirty old granddad.
Or the girl on maths that hadn't been on a date.
She needs an orange to practice some kissing if she's never had a date
before. I can help her out.
Let's see if the pervometer registers when the boys chat to John from Maslin's Beach.
You have a good weekend, Johnny?
Very good weekend. Got a bit nude down at the beach.
Did you really?
No, mate.
Did you have the binoculars out?
No. That's creepy.
Yes, it is, yep.
No, you're right.
Oh, hang on, there's a bit of smoke coming out of the pervometer. What about when Alice talks female fashion advice?
And girls only show one thing, like don't show boobs and legs.
Right.
So yeah, just show one or the other.
Right, boobs, please.
And finally, let's run the pervometer over Ditz's story when he was at the pub at Goola.
I'm sitting in the pub with a couple of lads and these girls walk in and they might have been, I don't know, 19, 20, 21, about three or four of them.
15.
And they're with their mums. They're sitting having a champagne and maybe I was just staring a bit too much.
Oh, no, you old perv.
And staring through my schooner glass and next minute this lady yells at me across the goes, are you right, Grandpa?
Sorry.
The pervometer's
gonna
blow! Oh,
beautiful.
That was unfair.
Oh, yeah, well, it's all true. It's actually true.
Let's move on, please.
Women of Adelaide, I need your help at 7:40-ish. Well, Women of Adelaide, just listen up, please. I do need your help, and I'm going to need you to ring in very, very shortly. This is what happened yesterday.
Just out of the blue, my wife said to me, she said, you're a perv.
I was
shocked and stunned and hurt. What do you mean I'm a perv? My wife called me a perv. What constitutes a perv?
Right, and then we heard a little montage in the top five this morning.
The pervometer will beep if Ditz says something a little bit pervy.
Girls coming here, we're in the action wear.
Yeah.
Looks all right. Seems to be working.
COVID test, yeah.
What was it like?
I said, yeah, do you want me to drop my trousers? But they said no. Well, normally after you've been with a stripper, you need a jab, don't you?
Yeah.
I could qualify to be a sex addict.
What about when they talked about Bernard Tomic's girlfriend?
Have you looked at her, what is it called?
Oh, yeah, I've looked.
You've looked at her. Of course you have, your dirty old granddad.
Or the girl on maths that hadn't been on a date.
She needs an orange to practice some kissing if she's never had a date
I can
before.
Help her out. Well, these are just observations.
It goes on and on and on.
They are just honest observations.
And you got caught looking a little bit too long down at the Port Elliot pub, and the mum said, he's up, Grandpa. Now, I've got Alice to come in here.
No, but my wife called me a pervert.
I know that. We played that. Yeah, we played that.
I know.
Yeah, we played that. Hang on, hang on. You just chill for a minute, all right? Alice, you come in here. Blokes do have a tendency to have a look. If a good-looking girl comes past, or if a girl wears clothing that's a fraction revealing, and it is tricky for men. I mean, sometimes we have to walk behind our wives just so they can't catch us having a little look. And you don't want to be too creepy,
like you just were.
Like Ditz is. But you can't help but have a little look every now and then.
Okay.
And as men, we sort of think that, you know, if you dress a little bit revealing, you're sort of not happy with a little look. But what's too much?
Okay, so point number one is when you think you're being subtle, whether you're hiding it from your wife or you're trying to oogle someone else, you're not subtle.
Right.
So I just want to put that out there. I can tell if I'm having a conversation with you guys in a cafe or we're at a pub or something, I can tell if there's an attractive girl behind me because your eyes start wandering. That happens all the time.
What about when you're talking to us and Ditz is looking at the TV? What are you reading?
Yeah, I can tell when there's like a lingerie ad or something on because Ditz is just like his eyes are out of his head. And I have to repeat everything I
said. Anyway, what's acceptable? That's what we really need to know.
A glance is acceptable. Someone attractive walks past, you can have a glance. Anything longer than just a look and gone.
It's a millisecond.
Yes.
Yeah, but hang on. I'm not being creepy here. I'm being absolutely honest about this then. What do you expect? Do you want to be looked at or don't you want to be looked at?
It's not about being looked at. I don't stand in front of my wardrobe of the morning going, do you know what? Today I'm going to get my boobs out or I'm going to dress so everyone looks at me today.
I want to share a conversation that you and I had earlier this morning. You actually used that line. You said, well, sometimes I dress and I get my boobs out. Well, why do you get them out?
No, because the dress that I like, it has the boobs out. Like
you can wear other
dresses. But I'm not wearing the dress to get my boobs out because I like that dress
style.
Why
does a girl make the decision to get her boobs out?
Well, it's like saying, why did you choose to wear a blue shirt today instead of a red shirt? Because you like that style and that's what you want to wear for the day.
So it's nothing to do with them being out.
It's got nothing to do with me standing there going, I'm going to get my boobs out.
Do you reckon all women are like that?
Pretty much. Like, see,
The girls I married at first sight.
I've got a friend that's got really, really, really big boobs and she really struggles to dress herself because if she covers up her boobs completely and wears like a big top, then she looks much bigger than she is. And if she has her boobs out, so everyone goes, oh, it's not fat. She's, but then her boobs are out and she can't have a conversation with a guy.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Her boobs are the same size, whether they're covered up or not.
Yeah, but it's an optical illusion. If you're wearing a high-necked top, you do look bigger.
All right, let's take some calls. Let's get some help. Let's get some help from the women of Triple M here. What is acceptable? What's too much? When does it go from just having a little bo peep to being a perv? That's what I want to know.
All right. So why do women spend 6 hours getting ready to go out if they're not to be looked at?
Well, we want
to
be looked at.
Why do you get a fake tan? Why do you get your nails done? Why do you get your boobs out? Why do you do all these things? What? So that we
I'm
just
not
ignore
saying
you.
Don't look. Like when if we're going out to an event and I come in and I'm all dressed up and I've spent ages getting ready, you'll look at me and go, you look really beautiful, Alice. Like you look amazing. Yeah. Right. That is so nice.
That's enough. Right. Women of Adelaide, ring in and tell us what is enough. What's too much? When does the pervometer go
I'm never ever going to look at you again.
133353. Hey, let's go to Salisbury Park. G'day, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Lisa. What are we allowed to do without stepping over the line?
Look as long as you want. Basically, I take it as a compliment.
Really?
You don't have your tongue hanging out your mouth.
Oh, no, Lisa.
Now, Lisa, do you dress accordingly or not? Do you deliberately dress a certain way?
If I've got something revealing, then I expect if a guy is looking, then I don't take it the wrong way.
All right. On you, Lisa.
On you, Lisa.
All right, we'll take some more calls.
We're off to a good start.
Women of Triple M, give us a call, 133353. Tell us what is too much. When are you going over the line? When have you become a perv?
Talking about perving.
We're just trying to get the balance right, Ditz, because we don't want, you don't want to be called a perv.
Yeah, not don't want to be creepy. Not my own wife.
I know.
Call me a perv.
Fancy that. Let's go to Henley Beach. Roxanne, just help us out a little bit, can you, please?
Yeah. I actually think it's to do with your age as well. I think as we get older, our filters change. So we sort of have a little bit less of a filter and we say and do what we want. So I'm about Ditz's age, maybe a little bit older, and I've got quite good legs and people tell me that.
Oh, no worries, Roxanne. Get your pins out.
We've seen your legs, Roxanne.
You know what? I do because it's... Sorry.
No, that's the pervometer. That's the pervometer.
Yeah. I know. But it's my best asset. So I'm going to flaunt in it. And people, you know, if guys, and let me tell you, if I'm out and I see a good looking girl, I go, gee, she's really pretty or she's really nice looking or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Not that way inclined, but I think it's about appreciating what people have.
That's what Ditz likes doing, appreciating what people look like.
Appreciation.
That's what he's going to tell Kate tonight.
Just don't do it for too long because that's when it gets
Ridiculous. Okay, so only appreciate the other people's assets for a little while. Let's go to Richmond. G'day, Kerry.
Hi, how are you?
Help us out, Kerry, please. What's too long?
I had an ex-boyfriend who, if any of my girlfriends walked in the room, he'd look straight down at the lower private part.
Oh, no.
Like, and I find that far more offensive and humiliating when someone looks down there, even more so than the boobs, because, you know, like, I've got a nice set of boobs, but, you know.
Kerry.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're out a lot more, but to look down,
that's a very deliberate
and he would walk into a room, and even when we went to a family party, he went straight, looked at his ex-sister-in-law to see how her weight was going and all the rest of it, and he'd got to that age, he was actually a bit, only 2 years younger than me, and he would just perv at all his son's girlfriends.
No!
One of his sons had a girlfriend
overseas. There's the pervometer there.
He talked about her like it was his own girlfriend.
Oh, really? That's not right.
Righto, that's
so
creepy.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. I'm glad you got rid of him, Kerry.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, good on you, Kerry. Good. Thanks for ringing in. This is what we need.
So Roxanne's got nice legs. Kerry's got nice boobs. Yep. See, the girls, they like the fact that it's recognised.
Oh, so do we. Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, Tracy.
Good morning. How are you?
Help us out, Trace, please.
All right, well, I've got a tip for Ditz and maybe yourself. My husband's about the same age as you, and he's decided in the last few months he's going to buy some mirrored sunglasses.
No, every pervert's got tinted glasses.
Where do we get
those? I've got a pair now.
I
figure if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
You can't walk around with tinted glasses. They were very 80s. They were very 80s, weren't they? Yeah. 90s even?
Well, Tracy's got some
Tracy's
now.
Got their back.
Right, eh?
Perfect for you, Ditz.
Yep.
Coming to a pervert near you, tinted glasses.
Now, who are you going to give a voucher to?
I think Kerry.
Kerry deserves it.
Kerry
after
deserves
what she went through.
Yeah, far out.
Yep.
That bloke was a real perv.
All right. Ruin Ditz here on Triple M.
Every single game is doable. It's can you do it in the moment?
Triple M.
He can do radio.
He can do telly.
He can write books.
He can play Guess Home.
And now he can even host TV game shows.
You could be a shot at winning $250,000.
Let's hope he's more like Ian Turpie than Andrew O'Keefe.
Please welcome to Ruin Ditz for Breakfast, the host of Channel 10's brand new show, The Cube.
The Cube with Andy Lee.
Andy Lee. We want to make him feel welcome.
I reckon he's got a bit of both about him.
Andy Lee, good morning.
Roo Ditz, great to be back on my favourite radio show in the country.
Yes, exactly right. And you've got a new show premiering tonight, The Cube. Tell us about it.
Mate, I am. And I heard that little jibe at A-OK on the way in from the voiceover person. Look, The Cube is essentially skill games, memory games, inside a Perspect box for your chance to win $250,000.
$250,000.
Hey, can I talk to you quickly about the tennis? We saw you doing the Guess Who games with many of the tennis players. Quite funny stuff. Any that stick out in your mind? Someone that was very, very pleasant, or were there any that were really, really difficult?
Oh, to be honest, no one was ever difficult. People were confused, which I understood. The one moment that I had that I didn't realize only till after, but Andrei Rublev is number 8 in the world. He's a Russian tennis player. He's kind of an up-and-comer. And I didn't realize he was from Russia, but he's come in and sat in front of me, and I said, oh, you know, would you like to be stuck in hotel quarantine with this person? He said, yes. So I immediately put down Vladimir Putin.
And, oh, no. And 50, he goes, 50 chance?
And he goes, no, no, put Vladimir back up. Put Vladimir back up. Because obviously he didn't want to be seen to be dissing the Vlad.
He'd be sent to Siberia.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the leader of the opposition over there has been poisoned three or four times and recently arrested. So I think he knows exactly how to treat Vlad. And that's so right. I was using my fingernails to try and put Vladimir Putin back up.
He won't be drinking cups of tea again, that fella. There's no doubt about that. What was Kyrgios like? You interviewed him. Everyone's amazed by him. I know he gets a massive audience, and so he's must-see TV. Is he mistaken, or is he a brat? How would you describe him?
I really like him, and I know that's going to be a really divisive thing to say because of his showmanship. I just think the game needs that. You need tantrums. You need those kind of stuff. As far as I can understand how people would get disappointed that when you've got that much talent and you're probably wasting it a bit. Yep. And I don't think he'd mind me saying that. He probably would mind me saying that. But anyway, I think he is. Like, I think he's an amazing tennis player. Yeah. Mm. He hasn't had a coach, doesn't want one. And he can probably make just as much money throwing tantrums and getting endorsements and living that kind of life. But so when it comes to applying the craft, I would love to see him do that more, because I think we'd have easily a top 10, top 5 player on our hands.
Yep.
But I think he's a bit mistaken with regards to that stuff, and he just doesn't want to. And that's fair enough.
Look, if you have a couple of quiet weeks on the cube, get him on. We want tantrums. I want to see things thrown.
Smash the cube.
Go for it.
Just before you go, I just need to ask you something. I had someone in the studio here say that you and Hamish Blake were here for a Christmas party or a staff sales show a few years ago, and Hamish might have went to an after party and got caught in an uncompromising position with a cheeseburger. Can you elaborate on this? I know nothing about this, Dits, but words filtered around Triple M.
I'm not going to elaborate on this.
Right.
But
is it true?
Haim and I, we'd gone to this function, went to an after party. It was all going great. I left him at the after party, had a few sherbets. And in the morning, I was trying to wake him up to get on the flight because we had to go elsewhere.
Right.
And I went down to reception at the hotel and asked, hey, can I have a key to my mate's room so I can go and wake him up? And they said, no, you can't do that because of hotel policy.
Really?
And I
don't you know then, who I am?
And then one of them started giggling, and I said, What's the giggling all about? And they said, oh, he ordered room service at 3:30 a.m. And we let ourselves in.
Oh, no. So they broke protocol.
We let ourselves in to give him his burger and found him in a compromising position just by himself. Yes. On the couch. He was pretty relaxed.
Right. Okay. No cheeseburger, though.
He said to me in the morning, he goes, I woke up and I was kind of taking off my pants when I got home. And I woke up and I was nude from the waist down, but I did have a cheeseburger next to me, and I'm worried that someone's seen something. I said, right. But we had a small meeting when we got back to Melbourne, and Hamish never has business. When we used to, at the start of our meetings, like, does anyone have any business? It's normally something boring about marketing or something. And Haim goes, I've got a little bit of business. We have to change hotels we stay at in Adelaide.
He could have been the next ambassador for the Whopper after that one, by the sounds of it.
Absolutely. Generous with Whopper.
Thanks for joining us, Andy. We look forward to this tonight. Sounds like fun. It's The Cube on Channel 10 at 7:30 tonight.
On you, fellas. Thanks for having me.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M ruined it's for breakfast, Roo. Big day down at the Albert and Oval tomorrow. It all starts at 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah, a bit of a trial game with Port Adelaide. A's and B's, NFL sides are getting a run as well. It's that time of the year, and the coaches need to find out who's going to be in for round one. So we thought we'd better get the Crows coach on. Matty Nix, he joins us now. G'day, Nixie.
Ruined it's, how are you?
Good, mate. How's the summer been?
It's been great. Yeah, it's been it's been a really positive off season. Had a lot of guys doing a fair bit of work in the break, and they've come back pretty fit. So we've hit it all guns blazing.
There aren't many hit outs before round one. Do you have to just about play full strength this week and next week?
Yeah, well, as close as we can. We've put together 26 that'll play in the second game. So that's the what we would probably say are the probables. And I think Port are doing something similar around 26, 25. So I think both will be having a crack. It's only two pracky games against opposition. And as you guys would know, it's you get sick of playing against yourselves after a while. So we're really looking forward to tomorrow.
You only got three players out. Talia, Duday and Crouch are sort of the bigger names that are not in the side. Is Talia a chance for round one, or is he more than likely going to be a little bit later?
Look, he's a chance, Roo. He's doing a lot of work at the moment through rehab, and he's pushing himself to the limit. So actually coming back into training will be interesting for him because he's working so hard at the moment. But it is a different dynamic when you do get in, you know, that sort of, I guess, unprepared for change of direction.
Yep.
That is footy. So we'll have to see how he goes over the coming weeks. It looks like he'd probably be in next week from a training point of view with the group. And then it's, you know, if we fast-track him through to round one, I don't think we'll take too many risks with Tails. If it does come down to that round one, we may have a look at two or three.
Matty, I want to ask you about the game in general. Last year, we saw a lot of tight, low-scoring contests. Now, a lot of people are critical of that. I actually don't mind it. I just like seeing a good, hard game of footy. Do you expect any change this year to the style? I know they've brought in this new, you know, standing on the mark rule to try and open things up, but do you expect to see a big change in the game at all?
I think the game's always evolving. I think that's what coaches do. We try to find the next advantage. We try and find what it is that's going to take these teams by surprise. So these things are going to happen organically. You're going to get coaches come in and say, well, it is a bit of a lockdown at the moment. Richmond's strength, and they are the benchmark, their strength has been to lock sides down and then in the end run all over sides in the last quarter when those sides try to be a little bit more attacking. So, look, I think we saw it from Port Adelaide last year. They were a lot more attacking. They took on the corridor. You know, they took a lot more of a chance. They were right up there in the mix towards the end. And so you'll see some coaches this year that will adopt a similar tactic. The rule change is an interesting one, whether that brings in a little bit more fast play, a little bit more roll, get it moving quicker.
Do you think it will?
Yeah, look, it's hard to say. I just hope it's, you know, it's a tough one for the umpires. It's a tough one. I think what you will see is teams with the ball will definitely go a little faster. They'll try and take the man on the mark out of it. It'll just be a matter of whether the umpires have to over-umpire and we end up with 50-metre penalties. That'll be the challenge. But I hope that's not the case. I hope it does speed the game up because ultimately we all want to see an exciting spectacle, whether that's, it's not necessarily a scoreboard. It's just how that footy moves and it's not locked down stoppage after stoppage. So we'll have to wait and see.
One of the big changes is longer quarters again. There's probably going to be another 7 minutes on every quarter. So times that by four, it's basically another full quarter. You've got a young list. Are they ready for that?
Yeah, we are. Look, I mean, I guess a lot of coaches will be looking at their list saying, oh, it suits us. But for us, it definitely suits us. We've got, you know, Lockie Scholl, Chase Jones, we've got Ben Key, Sloan, Matty Crouch. These guys, they like a grind. You know, they're good long-distance runners, really good 2K time trialists. So it suits those sort of guys to play a full quarter out or close to it. The challenge will come for some of the guys who are explosive that prefer a shorter quarter. I thought we saw that last year. You know, a lot of the guys that stood out last year in the shorter quarters were those burst players that have a lot of power and can do it time after time. But when you're getting into a 30-minute quarter, that becomes tougher and tougher. So hopefully that does suit us. You know, we've got some guys that can get up and down the ground and it might be something that we get an advantage from.
Matty, very tough year for you and the club last year. What are your expectations this year? Do you put any sort of goal on it?
Yeah, there's a lot of goals we put in place of around performance, around, you know, the brand we want to put out there. No goals as far as, you know, what everyone's looking for, which is win. Like, how many are you going to win? How many? I mean, that's the outcome of a product we put out there. Last year was a challenging year for everyone. We had as many, if not more, challenges than any side in the comp. But that's, you know, happiness comes from solving problems. So we're in a good space at the moment. We've got a group that are hungry to play footy. We've left no stone unturned this off-season. We have trained at the level. So the endeavour will be there. You know, our effort from a playing point of view on a Saturday, we get our first chance to put it out there this weekend against really good side. So we just, I can't wait to see what they put out.
Yep, fair enough. Now, I want to ask you, all footy fans love a father-son. We all get excited by that, the sons of. Now, James Rowe, how's he tracking? Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of good things about him.
Yeah, Jimmy's, well, I mean, Jimmy's a slightly more mature recruit. You know, you talk a couple of years and it can make a big difference. You know, he's played at the highest level of SANFL, and he excelled at that. He was a leading goal kicker in the competition, hugely influential for his side, you know, through finals footy. So he comes in, he's still learning. That's the best part about Jimmy. He's wide open to anything. He wants to develop even further. He's a worker. So, you know, we're not wasting time trying to teach him how to work. And he's quite exciting. He knows where the goals are. He's one of those players that just, you know, if he gets an opportunity within 50, he's scoring more often than not. So really enjoyed working with him, and I know he's going to be a really important part of our future.
Great stuff. Good on you, Matty. Have a good day at Alberton tomorrow, and good luck for the year.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good on you. There he is, Crows coach, Matthew Nix. Ruined It's here on Triple M, one of the great comedians appearing down at the Fringe. Georgie Carroll, good morning.
Good morning, Dix.
Our favourite nurse.
Yeah.
Do
you know many?
I do.
All right. Then it's not like I'm just in the top three of three.
I know people that dress up as nurses. Mainly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they count. Sometimes I do that as well.
Yeah. You're back at the Fringe. How long since you've performed?
Oh, I had the year off. Just give myself the year off.
Wow.
Yeah,
just, you get more holidays
it was going
than me.
It was going that well. I just decided to not do it for a year.
Up.
Just relax.
How does the husband feel about that?
Well, I did a little stint in the hospital just to kind of make a little bit of pocket money for
working
the family.
In the hospital.
Yeah, right. Went back.
Now, are you this crazy at work? So if I'm laying in bed and I'm sick.
I was on an 8-month contract at the hospital and I was in the office 3 times for just not doing work. So yes. I kept having to be told that we don't do that here.
Right. Because if I'm laying in bed convalescing and I'm actually quite ill and you come bounding in as loud as you are.
There you go.
I'd be like, could you shut up?
Oh, you're never as ill as you think you are, mate. Do you know what I mean? Right. Sometimes you just need a bit of mothering and you need somebody to tell you just to get out of the pyjamas.
The best doctor I had when I played footy, you'd go in with all like any sort of injury or illness or something from the weekend and you'd go and see him, you'd be down the dumps and you'd come out laughing. He'd just make you feel fantastic.
It's important.
That's right.
It's not the best medicine, but it's up there.
It's all up there.
Now, I would say the vaccines are probably better.
Yeah, hopefully. Now, in your time off, your year off, tell me about what did you put on the net or something, and it's gone berserk.
Oh, the nurse went viral in the pandemic. Like you shouldn't. Not even for like being racist on a tram. I literally did some stand up and it went well.
Really?
Yeah, like it was good.
Well,
viral.
You were just funny.
Just
without
funny.
Insulting people.
I know, like in the old days. Like I didn't just ruin my reputation. So on international, all you need to go viral: International Nurses Day, International Year of the Nurse and Midwife. Mm. In a pandemic, and put on some nursing stand-up, and 7 million views.
Wow. 7 million?
That's nearly as many as
you're
us.
You're trending.
Yeah, right.
You were trending, were you?
I don't really know what that means. Just viral, viral. Dude. Have you any idea, though, because I've got teenage boys, how hard it is to tell them you cannot get self-esteem from social media after you've gone viral?
What?
You tell your kids, you go, you can't get self-esteem from likes on social media, and then you get 7 million and you're dancing around the house.
Right.
And I'm this is the only source of self-esteem for me right now.
Now you're addicted to social
And they're like, can you take me to soccer? I'm like, when you get 7 million views, that's when I'll do it.
Now, I want to put something to you. I think Rue goes through this as well, but I've got 2 sons who are grown up, and I get dad, if you ever mention us again on air, that's it. And I get this lecture all the time. It's a no-go zone. I'm not allowed to tell stories about them anymore because I used to tell stories, this happened the other day, about their relationships or personal life or their work or their jobs or whatever.
Everything.
Well, now, I just want to play a clip to you. This is a grab we're using of you at the moment, talking about your 15-year-old son.
My Tommy, he's 15. He's got his arm in a cast at the moment. He broke that in 40 finals. 15, only just discovered wanking and he got benched. He's a very angry boy at the minute. Some things I can't help you with, son.
Now, Georgie,
how does he respond?
to mum talking about that. Do you get any lectures at home? Or
I've got two boys, and the oldest one thinks it's funny, and the other one thinks I'm just an embarrassment. Yeah. So I tend to talk about him less. But the weird thing is, this the bigger one, the wanker.
Yeah.
Has just got himself his first girlfriend.
Oh.
And so now he's a bit like, we're coming to the show on Saturday.
Yeah.
Can you just not? Can you just please, just on Saturday, can you just leave me out of it? And I'm like, yeah, I'll try.
Now, tell us about your show. When and where can we see you? And
Back to myself yet again. I went for the biggest tent in the garden.
Right.
Just why not? Come along. It's just nurses aren't bothered what day it is, so it's full every night. And then certainly in terms of social distancing, they're not put off. They have literally spent the last year inside people. It's just, they're absolutely fine to rock up. We talked about this at breakfast. Can you imagine what we're talking about in the evening?
Yes.
It's on 7 o'clock until the 7th of March, I reckon.
Every night.
On you,
I might have made some of them numbers up. Just Google in put in nurse, put it in the fringe ticks rather than just in the general web browser.
Yeah.
Just
and
nurse.
Hopefully those people don't actually need a real nurse.
Jeez.
All right. Oh, we'll see you down at the fringe, down at the garden. Georgie Carroll.
Cheers, boys.
It's the government have done the right thing and stimulated the building economy, the building sector, and quite rightly we needed to keep jobs in all the tradies and all the builders, and it's probably been too successful. There's so many homes that are projected to be built in the next couple of years. People are spending money on renovations.
Yep.
And so much to the point where there's a bit of concern around the industry that we might not actually be able to fulfill all the commitments because of the sheer amount of work that's got to be done. You can't get products and even tradies. So I thought we'd get the CEO of Master Builders SA on the line, Will Frogley. Will, is there a big issue coming up in South Australia in terms of getting all this work done?
Yeah, good morning, Ruin Jits, and great to be on your show. Yeah, we're in kind of a period of really unprecedented activity in the building industry at the moment. The amount of building approvals and loans for construction of new homes is at the highest level on record. And it's all, as you said, been fueled by this $25,000 grant by the federal government and also record low interest rates. So it's pretty incredible when I look back and think about where we were a year ago. If you told me we'd have too much work at this time, I would have thought you were dreaming. But you're right, it's done great things for jobs and the economy, but it's putting a lot of pressure on the system for sure. You know, with tradies or suppliers, you know, something that used to take a week or two is now taking a month or more. So it's really pushing the industry to its full capacity for sure.
Is there already a shortage of timber, steel, and other key ingredients in building?
Yeah, for sure. Concrete, plasterboard, bricks, steel coils, tiles. But the one that's really having a big impact at this stage is definitely timber. So there's a global shortage of timber. We used to get a lot from countries like Germany, but with COVID, a lot of the international supply chains have dried up. We used to get a lot from WA. That stopped because they've got their own red hot building market at the moment. A lot of Victoria's timber supply got burnt out in those bushfires just over a year ago. So a lot of our timber from the southeast is actually going across to Victoria and New South Wales. And, you know, I'd definitely prefer to see that timber go to South Australian jobs first. And that's something I'm chatting to the government about to see if they can help us out with that issue.
So what is the solution? Where can we actually source all of these products from?
Well, I think it's what we really need to do. If there are massive shortages in the short term, what we really need, it's going to create problems. So I think what I'd like to see is under home build, you have to commence building within 6 months. So that's creating just an insane amount of work into a pretty short period. So if we can get that change so you can commence building over a longer time frame, spread the work out, there'll be less pressure on materials and also tradies. But just to give you an idea of what the impact's going on at the moment, the wait for trusses is out to about 8 weeks or even longer. So the slab will be poured, but then there's not enough timber to progress the job. And it's a big issue already, but most of the home builder work still actually
hasn't even started, has it?
Yeah, it's still in there getting planning approvals and finance approvals. So we've got to do something, otherwise it's going to be a big issue.
What about this, Will? What about if you can't get products, people are already starting to pay more for them to go to the front of the line. So if people are paying more for all the products, from concrete to timber to tiles to everything, the cost of building a home is going to blow out. What if you've got a fixed price on your contract? Does that mean the builders could go broke, or there's going to be some issues there, surely?
Well, I think this is yet another reason why we need to spread the work over a longer time frame. You know, if it's spread out over a long time, there's less pressure on prices because there's less pressure on trades and suppliers. So that, I think that's really definitely the solution we need.
Is there a risk for people who are not skilled in building a home and they think they're going to build it for, let's say, $200,000, that it's going to cost them $240,000? Are they going to fall into that trap of getting taken advantage of by builders?
No, I think we are working on a solution. I think we are going to get it. It's just going to take probably a little bit longer to announce. But again, if we can get that work spread over a longer time frame, it's going to really reduce a lot of the risks that are definitely out there for the industry at the moment.
I want to ask you two quick ones before we let you go. One is about tiles, one's about cement. I thought we make a lot of cement here locally. I mean, a company like Adelaide Brighton, for example. And the other one I want to ask about is tiles. A lot of our tiles, I know, come in from China. So is that an issue?
Yeah, I think definitely one thing COVID's really shone the light on is that we do need to beef up our local manufacturing capacity. You know, for example, if we can do structural steel here, we should be able to do reinforcing here as well. We do have things like bricks here as well. But again, when we're in a period of really high demand like we are at the moment, we just don't have the sufficient local capacity. So that's something we've got to build up so we're not exposed like this in the future.
Yeah. Well, good on you, mate. Interesting chat. And yeah, let's hope we can find some solutions. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Good on you, mate.
Good on you, mate. Will Frogley, the CEO of Master Builders SA. A lot of people listening this morning, Roo, would have signed up for their new homes.
Well, the other thing too, Dits, we're putting on so many more people in that industry. You can't tell me the quality of people is not going to drop as well.
Mm.
It's like when you put four more sides into a footy competition standard. Yeah. So I'll be careful with quality of builds with some people too, I would have thought.
Mm. All right, interesting stuff.
104.7 Triple M. He writes jokes for the front bar, and his mates call him Rosie. Please welcome to Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Adam Rosenbach.
Oh, we love having this fella on every week. Rosie, good morning to you. Have you gotten involved in the vaccine rollout? Is it going to affect you?
Dits, Roo, I'm very excited about the vaccine rollout. I've seen that at the moment it's frontline workers. Quick question. Strippers who are dressed up as nurses, is that... Are they? Because that's essential to me. So
yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Just news, Rosie, the strip joints opened again in Adelaide on the weekend. They can now dance again. So I don't know if they have had the jab or not. But
Okay, and what's their policy on touching?
Well, normally after you've been with a stripper, you need a jab, don't you?
Yeah. I think so. Have you seen, though, on that topic that Apple has changed their syringe emoji? Did you guys see that? So they had the old emoji used to have blood in it, and now they've changed it to clear.
Oh. Right.
So you can say to your friends, either I'm getting the vaccine or I'm loading up on heroin this weekend.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So people can know.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on an AFL team in Darwin, Rosie?
Mate, I love it. I think it's a great idea. I think Clarko's... put forward that thought that if it's going to be a truly national comp, we need to go into the Northern Territory. I do think it's going to be hard for a team out of Darwin to get many members because no one up there lives under their real name.
That's right.
Because if you've been to Darwin, everyone's on the run.
Can we just have false names like on Twitter? And stuff?
Exactly. That's what it'll be. But, you know, you guys have been to Darwin. That's going to be the unfittest side in history. They're going to need 8-minute quarters. They'll come off for a rundown and a kebab. You know, how's it going to go with a team that's 2 hours from Bali? You just cannot, it cannot be done. And I think just to kind of make it more of a Darwin feel, instead of a siren to kick off the game, you have an air raid siren to remind all the old supporters of World War II. I can't imagine any wags going to Darwin. If you've ever traveled with your partner to, say, Thailand or Bali, the one thing they all complain about is the big hair.
Yeah, you know, frizzy,
they get
hair.
Frizzy hair, mate. Yes. You're not going to get any wags going up there.
No. What about the fake tan running in Darwin too with the heat?
They're not going to go up there, so it's going to just going to be blokes one out. And what could go wrong with that in Darwin?
No. Hey, what happened in Edinburgh in Scotland?
All right, so there's a bit of a backstory to this one. So basically, a woman and a guy got into like a bit of an argument on the street. The woman has walked up to the man, gone to give him a kiss, and then bitten off his tongue.
What?
Spat it out, and a seagull has taken off with the bit of tongue that she's taken out. Or is this as known as Edinburgh, a regular Saturday night out.
Oh, no. She's got nothing on Mike Tyson.
So you've gone from the Liverpool kiss to the Edinburgh pash.
Yeah. Gee whiz.
Savage.
Put you off it kissing? Is pretty savage. But if I was this guy, I'd be pretty happy to go to court just so everyone knew that I'd picked up. I'd be like, yeah, I did all right. I did all right. I got my tongue
bitten. Can you please explain what happened? Thanks, I like that. What happened with the bear attack in Alaska?
So there was a, this is in the outback of Alaska, and a woman and her partner were staying in like a cabin, and they had an outhouse, and the woman went out to the outhouse, and it was just like a drop toilet, I suppose you would say.
Yeah.
And she sat on that, and there was a bear underneath it, and it reached up and bit her on the backside.
The bear in the long drop.
In the long drop, yeah. I always saw bears preferred salmon, not beaver. So it's just
No.
It turns out bears don't shit in the woods. So who knew? It's just they use outhouses. So now, but can you blame the bear? Can you blame the bear? I'd be angry if I was hibernating and someone did that to me.
Oh yeah, not you good know? At all.
Yeah, it's still less dangerous than what Roo left in the dunnies before. But
yes.
Now you found an island that's very oddly shaped.
Well, I didn't find it, Dits. It came to my attention. It was on news.com. A woman was searching Google Earth. You know how people just look around the world for things they can find? And she found an island in the Pacific that is shaped like a penis.
Really?
Yes. So I believe God created that when
wouldn't it?
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? I believe God created that when he was 15. and the island actually gets smaller in the winter.
Right.
Is that what I've heard?
Okay. Yeah. Is that because of the tide coming in or climate change?
Well, actually, they make it look a bit bigger when you trim all the shrubbery back.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, well, I did that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I do believe that's where Cane Corns was born. So
yes,
there you go.
Yes, exactly.
Very,
right.
Very different mix of stories today, I've got to say, Rosie.
Mate, a bit of variety. I like to keep you guys on your toes.
Good on you, mate. We'll talk next week.
Have a great week.